Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me just reread verse 4 for emphasis out of Isaiah 62. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married, for the Lord delights in you. Amazing what makes the news these days, but something that really carried a lot of news time this week was the Notre Dame student who had the imaginary friend. I don't know what your take. There's a lot of discussion about whether he was duped or whether he knew or not. I don't know the answer to that. It's nice that it's in a school that we can all agree to make fun of, which makes it easier, The point of it is, I saw a psychologist, two psychologists being interviewed on a news program, and they asked the one lady what she thought the cause of, or how this thing could have happened. And she said she has, her expertise is dealing with people who have emotional problems regarding the internet. And she said this is a very common problem. She said she even has some patients of hers who have become engaged to people who turned out to be imaginary. She said one of her clients is a very successful businessman, very well off, who had a fell in love with a woman on the internet, and he bought an airline ticket to fly out to visit her. And she said he was a very smart man, and since he was a friend of hers, he showed her a picture of the girl, and it was a famous actress. It was a scam. It wasn't a real thing. And so they said to her, how do these things happen? And she said, whether you believe it or not, I don't know, but she said, people have a desperate need to be loved. I found that very interesting. People have a desperate need to be loved. I understand that. It's miserable to feel like nobody wants you. And if you're famous, like this football player, if I'm not mistaken, was up for the Heisman Trophy. He was a defensive player up for the Heisman Trophy, very unusual, and he'll be famous probably. He'll play for the NFL. It's worse to be alone when everybody knows it, and when you're in the public light and all of those feelings of loss are public, the pain is even more. It seems to me that our text is describing God's solution to that issue. It describes a people of God as being in a relationship of marriage and paints a picture of being cherished. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today, because it seems like that's the opposite of feeling like a loser, when you feel like you're being cherished. I believe our text is painting a picture of the way that I want to feel in my life. And I believe when you talk about having a mission emphasis for a month, that finally, this is what we want to say to the world. The world disdained the Creator. The world turned against God, and the world does not deserve God, and God should have brought the world to justice instead. And this is the news we have for the world. Instead, God went to the punishment in the place of the world and repaired the relationship and longs to cherish the world. It makes no sense for us to be messengers unless we understand that message too. And I think it's one you and I need to hear. We were born into brokenness. We surely should have been called to justice. Instead, we know Jesus came to stand in our place, and suddenly we are not just tolerated by God, we are special to God. To me, the most pervasive problem that exists in the world today is a feeling of not being appreciated, an idea that we're not special to somebody. I believe it goes against all human nature to let us be lazy. I believe we like to do things. We like to work. We like to have a job. We like to accomplish something. If we're healthy, if we're without pain or distress, we are the kind of people who want to have something to do. We just want to be appreciated. We want to be special to someone for what we do. We suffer the oldest problem because we know that when we stand before God, we don't deserve to be cherished, not by God anyway, surely not by God. I probably told you this story, doesn't matter, we've been there before. We were on vacation once, and my sister Donna was washing out for our house while we were gone watering plants and things, so we decided to buy her something special on the trip, and we found we were touring wineries, and it was beautiful country, and tasting all the wine they had, and this one winery had a special wine made from the grapes that grew around Mount Ararat, where Noah's Ark came to rest. So it was a little bit more money, but we bought that special bottle of wine to give to my sister when we got home, and we did. And you know, we kept waiting for her to try the wine and tell us how wonderful it was. And one day she finally did call and said, "You know that wine you gave me?" And we said, "Here it comes." She said, "You know, I poured it in a recipe, and then I threw the bottle away. Was it anything special?" And, well, see, it was special. It's the last bottle of wine you're ever getting from us. Because we just wanted her to say, "Well, look at you. How, that was special." But she didn't appreciate it, and we've had a big laugh from it several times. Every time we go on a trip, she asks us to bring her a bottle of wine now. But she said, "I'll read it. Really, I will." It seems to me that what our text is talking about is a way for you and for me to be appreciated by God. And it turns out it is only something you can receive as a gift. David is king of Israel in the glory years. He didn't seek it out. God sent a prophet out to his little town where David wasn't even home. He was out in the field watching the sheep. And he was suddenly told by the prophet that he was the next king of Israel. He was the chosen one, chosen by God to be king. Later, David would sin grievously. He would commit adultery. He would commit murder. And caught, he would describe himself with weeping and regret. He would tell how he was begotten from the very beginning, shaped in his mother's womb as a failure and a sinful creature. And he knew he did not deserve to be loved by God. And yet he goes down in history as the beloved of God. He goes down in history as a favorite of God. He goes down in history as someone who was cherished by God. Isn't that the way you want to feel when you think about God? There's at least some encouragement from this text that we ought to cherish the people around us and that we ought to appreciate the people that put up with us year after year. And our life would be better if we would just learn to cherish people that were around us. It would change dramatically if we could learn to appreciate that we are cherished by God. See how it would change if you were convinced that the creator of the universe didn't just tolerate you, but cherished you. Here's what I call you to do. Stop thinking you will earn that. Stop thinking you will deserve that, and understand it will always be a gift. It will never be true that you measure up, but it will always be true that God gives you the gift. Start remembering you're cherished by God. You are not alone. You will never be alone. The name of Jesus Christ is God with us. The news of the Bible, finally a message just for you, that God loves you. I remember another story you've heard before probably, but some day off, working out, starting my lawnmower, and it would not start. And I checked the oil, and I went to town and got a spark plug, and I'm pulling on it and beating on it. It turns out you have to put gas in, I found out later, but that's just side, okay? In the midst of all this noise and clamor, I can see my youngest daughter across the yard yelling at me, and I just ignore her. And finally, she keeps yelling and yelling. Finally, I stop and I say, "What?" And she says, "Daddy, I love you." That's a tough one to get mad about. It sort of stopped everything. It seems to me that over the clamor of what's bothering you right now, the things that are shouting at you for attention, God is shouting out that He cherishes you. It's a message that changes everything. Think of the scene when a lost child is found and mom and dad hold them close and just rejoice that they're found. This is what God longs to do for you. The memory of the trauma does not go away. The shadows of the night will be more fearful now that they have had this experience of being lost. But right at this moment, all that matters is that that child is safe and sheltered and loved. Eventually, you stop shivering and you stop crying and you dare to laugh and play again. This is where you are. You may feel that you are lost. You are not. You may feel that you are abandoned by God. will never be true. You may feel that you have somehow gotten off the way and God doesn't know where you are. Absolutely not true. You are found, you are rescued, and you are loved by God. And more than that, you are pulled into His family and you're special. You are not noticed by God. You are not judged by God. You are cherished by God. Is it a scary world? Yes, it is. Is it a safe world? No, it is not. But you are cherished by God. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.